Well, you're listening to the Ultimate Sports Podcast. I'm Johnny Hart in for Kevin Hatchard, who's been allowed to go on a break for 1 week only. So you're stuck with me, aided and abetted by our very own Motormouth and Watford supporter. More of that in a minute. Toby Gillis. How you doing, Toby?
Very, very good. Very excited, very nervous.
Yes, I've actually been given instructions that we're not really meant to be talking about Watford or the Championship playoff.
From our Luton fan producer.
Yes, which is slightly sad, really, for him, bearing in mind where Luton are.
Yes.
And where Watford could be.
Yes, but really struggled to get in the playoffs, didn't they, Luton? And certainly the Championship playoffs.
A packed weekend ahead, Toby. Let's get on with it. Championship playoff final and the Champions League final. We all know which is the most lucrative of the two games. Such are the rewards of the Premier League. It's the playoff final, of course. I think over £100 million at stake. Is that right?
About £120 million if you have just one season there because of the parachute payments now.
Try and remain neutral, if you can.
Yes.
But are Watford going to win?
They're the favourites. They're definitely the favourites, there's no doubt. Obviously, they're up against Crystal Palace. They beat them on the opening day of the season in a dramatic turnaround. They were 2-1 down until the 90th minute and then won it 3-2 at Palace. And then the other way round almost at Vicarage Road earlier on in the season, Watford were 2-0 up at half-time and it finished 2-2. It's a game where, of course, Ian Holloway has added a lot of spice to it by criticising the way Watford have gone about their business throughout the season in terms of a lot of loan players, which have been quite high profile. So he's not exactly Watford fans' favourite manager, but of course he's got huge experience having done this all before with Blackpool, taken them up once and then lost once in the playoff final. So he knows what he's doing. It's a completely new experience for Gianfranco Zola and a lot of Watford's players. So it really is who performs on the day. They're two teams with totally different philosophies. Crystal Palace are big. Watford struggle to defend set pieces. Watford keep it on the deck. They play probably prettier football, I think it would be fair to say. But it's two totally contrasting styles and it's very difficult to pick who's going to win it. Really exciting game in prospect, I think. One for the neutral as well.
These often go beyond 90 minutes, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't think your heart could take that?
My nails have already been bitten this week and it hasn't even started yet.
Okay,
so,
well,
nerve-wracking. It's going to be a cracker.
I won't ask you to predict a result. That wouldn't be really fair because you've got too much at stake.
My concern is that everyone I speak to seems to think Watford will win, which tends to mean that Palace will win.
Well, of course, on Saturday night, it's the Champions League final between Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich at Wembley. Let's now hear from the refreshingly entertaining Borussia Dortmund manager, Jürgen Klopp.
They was in the final for the last 2 or 3 years. They were in the semi-final, I feel like, for the last 10 years. The only surprise in this case is that Borussia Dortmund is in this final too. We want to make our parents proud. We want to do everything what we can do to be a winner in this final. And after this, if we win, we are not the best team in the world, but we beat the best team in the world. And that's what could happen.
Well, that's Jürgen Klopp. And Toby, you actually predicted a Borussia Dortmund-Bayern Munich final months ago. I believe you've won a bit of money.
I have, yeah. I put a bit of money on it. Only a tenner.
What were the odds?
About 25 to 1.
Oh, that's good.
So after the group stages, I had a bet on an all-German final. And I've been very impressed with Bayern and Dortmund, not just this season, but the last couple of seasons as well. They're clearly building well. German football is going from strength to strength, at least at the very top. I mean, you know, Kev is really your man for German football. I've spoken a lot to him about it.
Bayern are the favourites.
Yes.
Which, when you consider that they actually haven't beaten Borussia Dortmund for a couple of seasons, perhaps that's a bet that you should oppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, I have. Yeah. At the same time that I put the bet on for the all-German final, I put a bet on Dortmund to win it. I think it's a big blow for them that Mario Götze will be out, you know, even though he's, of course, about to go off and play for Bayern and would have had possibly the odd little mixed sort of feeling about that game. I think that's a big blow for them. I'm going for Dortmund, partly because I've got my bet on, but partly because I just think that they're up for shocking Munich, and I just wonder whether Munich are a little bit too big for their boots at the moment.
Okay, we shouldn't forget, of course, the Scottish Cup final between Hibernian and Celtic on Sunday as well, and there is so much to get through this weekend that we can't talk about that too much. But I hope Hibs win that one.
Don't we all? We always love it when the minnow wins.
Let's move on to the F1 Monaco Grand Prix, the glamour fixture, isn't it? The F1 Grand Prix.
Brilliant,
now,
isn't it?
Obviously, at this stage, we don't know who's going to be on the grid. But that is all important, isn't it, when it comes to this particular race? Because, like my wife, overtaking is very difficult.
It's one of those courses that, you know, is spectacular to look at. But does it really come up to, you know, do you really end up with a spectacular race, as you say, overtaking, because it's effectively on the streets, isn't it? It's so, so narrow and incredibly dangerous. I mean, we've had some huge crashes over the past few years.
You sound like you're sort of relishing that.
Well, I couldn't possibly comment.
But it's the history of the race more than anything else, isn't it, really? Because, you know, quite often the race is quite boring.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's kind of... Formula One has to go there because it's kind of, you know, the paradise for the rich and famous, isn't it?
And they need to stop off for a certain period of time to save the money on their tax.
Of course they do, absolutely. And I think a lot of the Formula One drivers, don't they live there or at least own property?
Yes, they certainly do. Yeah, they have to spend 93 days a year there.
Get an opportunity to stay at home for a bit.
But it's very close, I believe, this year. I think Lewis Hamilton has got a great chance.
Yeah.
Nico Rosberg. And I think there are about four or five drivers who are stuck on the same kind of, I think it's something like 7-2 to win the race. And I'd love it if Lewis Hamilton won.
Well, Hamilton's only won it once, hasn't he? And, you know, when he sort of broke through, there was a real feeling about Hamilton that Monaco might be his sort of driving. He's very aggressive when he needs to be, and he seems to be gaining confidence in the new car, doesn't he? You know, he's obviously left
slowly but surely. Yeah,
yeah. He started, you know, when he first moved, he said, "Oh, it's going to be a few seasons before we can challenge for the title." And at the moment, it does only look like, you know, the title's going one way or the other with Vettel, you know, leading the way at the moment. I think it's just a 4-point gap, but you know. Fingers crossed, we will watch him, you know, carefully. And if I think, as you say, whoever's on pole, pretty much not guaranteed, but a safe drive, and you're gonna come away and win that race.
Well, this huge weekend for sport continues, and on Saturday night, one of the biggest fights to be held in this country for some time takes place at the O2, the super middleweight world title unification fight between Karl Froch and Michael Kessler. Let's now hear from Froch.
Since turning professional, I've boxed in 11, 12, 13 world title fights. None as big as this. This is, for me, the pinnacle of my career. I'm just so excited. I'm not overwhelmed, and I cannot wait to get in the ring on Saturday night and do a job against this man here. I owe Michael Kessler one. It's time for me to put the record straight.
Froch has got into a bit of trouble, actually, over the last sort of 48 hours. Saying that he wanted to kill Kessler in the ring. Now, it's a bit strange, really, when you consider that the two of them actually get on quite well. Yeah. They have boxed before. Froch lost. That was for the first time in his professional career when they met in Denmark in 2010. And I actually have to say, I've got to admire Kessler for coming over here to the O2. We know that Froch lost to Kessler on his home turf. Now, Kessler's taken the risk. Obviously, money talks. And... it is a really tantalising fight.
I think we've seen in the past that Froch really, really gains something extra from home support, doesn't he? He's possibly just has that little extra spring in his step that he is hoping will be the difference. He seems to be the favourite quite widely to win this one. Any of the experts that you speak to seem to suggest that he will be the man to lift the belt at the end of the fight. I just think that, I mean, you just said it there about what he said about he wants to kill Kessler in the ring. I mean, obviously they've got to sort of try and build up as much atmosphere.
They're trying to sell
to
some
this.
More
of course they
box
do.
Office, aren't they? But it was just, it was. I hate using the word inappropriate, but it just, bearing in mind that they obviously are, I wouldn't say they're mates, but they certainly get on well.
Yeah, I mean,
it just sounded silly, but...
Froch is quite funny because he so often comes out and says, well, I don't slate other boxers, do I? And he's come out and said that. So, you know, far
comes
be it for me
as
to...
He comes one of the more intelligent boxers. Yeah. That's not saying a lot, though, let's be honest.
Well, it's tough to stay intelligent when you're getting punched in the head on a frequent basis,
isn't
it?
That is true. You go for Froch, will you?
On my relatively limited knowledge, I'll go for Froch.
So we're going for Hamilton, Froch,
Watford,
and
Dortmund
at the moment, and Hibbs.
And Hibbs.
Okay. French Open.
Tell you what, this would be quite some accumulator.
We would, actually. I'm almost tempted to have a go.
Bet responsibly.
Now, we love our tennis, don't we, Toby? That's the French Open that starts on Sunday. Alas, without dear old Andy Murray. And in fact, it's the first time we haven't had a British player involved in the men's tournament for nearly 20 years. actually remember Henman almost got to the final once.
Semi-finals, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was in the semi-finals.
Beaten by, was it Kanyas he lost to in the semi-final? Might well have been.
I'll have to check up on that one, but I'm not sure you're correct there. But he had a very good opportunity to get to the final. And of course, naturally, he blew it. Having said that, in the women's, we've got Brits numbers 1 and 2, Laura Robson and Heather Watson. It'll be Watson's first competitive match for a couple of months since she's recovered now from glandular fever. Mm. She's a good prospect. And the great thing, it's like Kim Clijsters and Justine Henin, isn't it, really? Having two players around about the same age and around about the same standard at the moment. They're both sort of hovering around the 40 to 50 mark in the world rankings, which for British women is very good indeed. But I think they're on the rise. Certainly Robson is at the moment.
First things first with Watson, I would say let's not expect too much from her immediately. I actually had glandular fever, and I've never, Toby, ever been the same since. It really does. I mean, you know, thank you very much. I mean, you know, it's scientifically proven. It will affect her immune system for the rest of her life. And so to have recovered quite so quickly, to get back and to play at an elite level, I would say let's not expect too much of Watson too soon. Robson, on the other hand, has had a couple of fantastic victories recently and great experience. She beat Venus Williams and then played against Serena Williams, you know, two consecutive matches just a week or so back. Was pretty comprehensively outplayed by Serena, but beat Venus, who is, you know, obviously fighting her own illnesses at the moment to try and, you know, prolong her career as much as possible. She's the one at the moment that you would say has got the chance. She's got that extra element of power over Watson that I think really makes the difference. The concern with Robson is the second serve, I think. You know, if she can... It's not just about keeping it. It's almost a bit of an Andy Murray problem. You know, Murray used to sort of go for a bit of power, but they were generally much easier to get back. And I think that's what Ivan Lendl has changed with him. He's taken a little bit of pace off the second serve, but he's getting far better angles and he's winning far more points on the second serve. I think Robson needs to possibly take a little look at that and make some changes. And you know, her rise is going to continue higher and higher up the rankings, I think.
Toby, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
To rugby, and it's the Aviva Premiership final between Leicester and Northampton at Twickenham. This is Leicester's 9th consecutive Premiership final, although they have lost their last two. And Leicester's Tom Croft is hoping to make it third time lucky.
Obviously, we've been in Mayor final, and you've got to be the team that turns up. You know, a lot of us have been in the situation of losing the final, and it hurts. I think for a lot of the boys, it will be niggling there somewhere, and it will hopefully offer that extra edge.
Well, it couldn't be more different for Northampton. This is their first appearance in a Premiership final. Let's now hear from their skipper, Dylan Hartley.
Every other year, we've been touted as potential champs. You know, we've had good stints in the season where we've gone unbeaten, and this year, you know, we've been up and down, up and down. I remember New Year's, we played Exeter, I think, and we said, look, if we want to be in the top four at the end of the season, this is what we've got to do. And we stuck to it and we believed in it, and here we are. It's the club's first Premiership final, and we're 80 minutes of creating something pretty special.
And the rugby continues on Sunday, again at Twickenham, with England up against the Barbarians. In cricket, obviously the second test against New Zealand is underway on Sunday. Ireland play Pakistan in Dublin. And, of course, there's a full complement of YB40 matches over the weekend. To cycling, and the Giro d'Italia ends on Sunday. Watch out for Vincenzo Nibali as he continues to head the general classification leaderboard. Cadel Evans is the closest challenger. Saturday's Stage 20 is a 203-kilometre stage which cuts through the Dolomites of northern Italy with 5 categorised climbs that should suit Nibali. And the final stage on Sunday has a similar format as the Tour de France. It's a procession followed by several laps and a big sprint finish in Brescia. This a change from the traditional finish which used to take place in Milan. Well, the home crowd will be cheering for their local boy, Elia Viviani, who rides for Cannondale, but it could be tailor-made for the human cannonball that is Mark Cavendish, who certainly benefited from Friday's cancellation in the mountains. He's riding for Omega Pharma Quickstep, and he could even claim the Red Points jersey. Well, to horse racing, and let's now hear from our racing correspondent, Charlie Hoynes. And Charlie, big weekend at Haydock.
Yeah, it's a Temple Stakes. It's a very interesting race. Soul Power's likely to go off favourite. He won the race 2 years ago, and of course he burst onto the limelight when he won the Nunthorpe at odds of 100-1. He's certainly improved since then, and one of his biggest dangers could be Reckless Abandon, who's won all his races as a two-year-old. The negative is he hasn't raced since last October, and it remains to be seen whether he's trained on as a three-year-old. Of course, on Saturday, we've got the Irish 2000 Guineas at the Curra. That's very likely to go to one of Aidan O'Brien's trained horses, although there is a very interesting horse trained by Richard Hannon, is the English hope, Vandeneer. This week we've had the preview breakfast with the stars at Epsom, where all the trainers who've gone to have runners in the next week's derby talk to the press about their chances and their hopes. And very interesting was Jim Bolger, who trains the favourite Dawn Approach. He was talking about the worries that some of the press experts have over Dawn Approach's ability to stay a mile and a half. And of course, Dawn Approach slaughtered his field in the 2000 Guineas earlier this month at Newmarket. Very impressive. He's a very short price favourite for this derby. But Jim Bolger, he's pointed out quite clearly that this horse will very likely stay a mile and a half, even though he's not bred to. And he also said, and this is so unlike Jim Bolger, that he has no worries about the opposition he's taking on.
Well, if you were to take it at face value, he probably would not get a mile and a half. But because he settles so well and he has such a good temperament and he has so much class, he may well get a mile and a half, but we won't be sure until we try it. As regards the competition, I wish them all well. I respect each and every one of them. And I will not be losing any sleep over who turns up.
That's Jim Bolger there, and our thanks to our racing correspondent, Charlie Hoynes. Finally, on Sunday in athletics, it's the Booper Great Manchester Run, where 40,000 runners are expected to take part, and the conclusion of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. You've been listening to the Ultimate Sports Podcast. My name's Johnny Hart. Kevin Hatchard's back next week. Until next time, thank you.